When the Ashland Daily Tidings and Medford Mail Tribune shut down after more than a century of operation in the Rogue Valley, a couple of local news outlets quickly rose up to fill the void. The Rogue Valley Times and Ashland.News. I'm Mike Green, and this is the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. Today we're talking about the loss of local media happening across the country and what's being done about it. You can join the conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Joining me to talk about how to save local media are two journalists working on the problem in Oregon and California. Andrew DeVigal is director of the University of Oregon's Agora Journalism Center. He joins me from Italy. Are you there, Andrew?
Yes, I'm Mike. How you doing?
I'm so glad you could make the time. And Maya Chupkoff, director of California's Common Cause Media and Democracy Program, also joins us. Welcome, Maya.
Hello. Excited to be here.
Fantastic. We'll get to the solutions you both are working on, but first, we need to address the problem. Maya, I understand you have a tight schedule and you may have to leave early, so I'll start with you. More than half of all the counties across America have limited access to reliable news and information, according to researchers at the School of Journalism at Northwestern University. In their local news initiative, we learned that more than 200 counties have absolutely no local media, and there's a trending pattern of an average of 2.5 local news media loss every week nationwide. Maya, what's going on across the local media industry, and how bad is the problem?
Yeah, so like you have pointed out, we are going through a local news crisis across the country, which is having really, really alarming impacts to our democracy, because without a healthy press, we don't have a healthy democracy. And a lot of people, especially people who are part of marginalized communities, are not getting their civic information needs met. And a lot of that has to do with a lot of these independent newsrooms are struggling to find a sustainable business model. And while philanthropy has, you know, been stepping up in a huge way, philanthropy cannot do enough to support the entire ecosystem alone. So that is why California Common Cause is focusing on policy solutions to fill in those information gaps.
Okay, well, Maya, your organization says that a healthy media sector is necessary to hold power accountable and to ensure an informed electorate. You also, at Common Cause, say that you have an emphasis on local and ethnic journalism. But local and ethnic media are both struggling to survive, and both appear to be on life support. So what's the impact on residents who live in those areas with no local or very limited local media resources?
Yeah, so California Common Cause, we really wanted to get down to what exactly the residents are saying about their local media and where the gaps are. So we actually did a report in San Francisco, which is where we're kind of piloting a lot of these local journalism policy solutions. And the first thing that we needed to figure out is where those gaps were. And so we did a bunch of focus groups with people from the indigenous community. And we also did focus groups in 5 different languages to really understand what residents were needing. And one of the number one things we found in that report is that many of these people don't feel like the city is advertising their programs and services to them. And so that is a big gap that we're hoping to fill through a bunch of the different policy solutions.
Andrew, more than a quarter of Oregon's small town newspapers have closed in the past 20 years. and 68% of Oregon's incorporated cities lack a local news source, according to the Fund for Oregon Rural Journalism. So what's being done in Oregon to address this growing deficit across rural regions?
Thanks for that question, Mike. I think what's being done, I think before we try to step into the solutions, I think it's part of, recognizing why it's happening in terms of the decline of news sources. I think it's pretty important to factor in, right? I mean, obviously, there are the financial struggles and the declining of advertising revenue and subscription numbers have really made, the traditional news sources models unsustainable. And there's also been a very strong shift towards digital, whether it's digital platforms, it just really the print circulation has dramatically decreased. And of course, there's the audience changing habits. So, recognizing that the consumer preferences have evolved and that there has been a growing preference for online news sources such as social media and mobile apps. So in recognizing these changing habits, I think it's important to to highlight that part of the solution is to figure out how to go where people are, whether it is social media or mobile apps. Obviously, trying to say social media is part of the solution is also recognizing that social media could also be part of the challenge, right? In terms of the distribution of misinformation or disinformation. So in trying to step into this portion of trying to recognize potential solutions, it's also trying to better understand where the information needs are. I really appreciate Maya's statement in terms of recognizing the civic information needs and if they are being met, rather than just calling it news or the decline of newspapers. I think the shift towards understanding where people get their trusted civic information needs are being met first, and understanding the ecosystem of where people are, I think is the first step, right? To listening to their communities, understanding where information flows are being, where people are sharing their information and getting their information, and then, putting it back out there. So I think a part of what the Agora Journalism Center, the center I direct at the University of Oregon, part of the work that we're trying to do is to try to facilitate those listening sessions, whether through very much information needs assessment programs. We've done that on a number of communities across Oregon, including the Rogue Valley, which we did late last year, where we assessed and tried to listen along with potential collaborators, including JBR, to, again, better assess where people are getting their information and sharing it. I think that's step one. One of the things that...
Andrew, hang on just a second. I'm going to reset real quick. I'm sensing a shift in the semantics. Instead of talking about journalism and media, we're talking about civic information. And I want to get into that a little bit. I'm talking with Andrew DeVigal, the director of the University of Oregon's Agora Journalism Center, and Maya Chupkov, director of California's Common Cause Media and Democracy Program. We're talking about the declining state of local media and what can be done to save it. You can join us by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Andrew, you're telling me about the Agora Center's approach, and we're talking about civic information. Can you explain more why we're talking about civic information versus traditional journalism?
Sure. I think a part of that is the fact that, I think the notion that that journalists or editors of newspapers and so forth are like the gatekeepers of information or journalism. And I think that's been long gone if people haven't recognized that. And I think shifting that language, shifting this idea that what we have the responsibility, and we being journalists, had the responsibility for is not necessarily just expressing what the news is of the day. It's really about understanding your community's information needs, what they are talking about, and what they are hoping to be a part of in terms of the conversation, so that they actually are getting the information so that they can thrive in their communities. I think shifting that language or shifting that perspective is going to be pretty key to understanding what our role is within the community, and again, supporting our community's information.
Well, that fits right into what they're doing at Common Cause. Maya, let's talk about civic information hubs, like libraries that are funded by public tax dollars. Can you talk about some of the ideas that Common Cause is advocating for, like community journalism districts, news vouchers, and requiring 50% of the public dollars spent on advertising to go to local and ethnic media?
Yes. Before I get into some of these solutions, another important step that California Common Cause took in setting up a durable infrastructure for approaching these policy solutions is we have been organizing a group of local publishers here in San Francisco. We're called the Bay Area Independent Community Media Coalition. And before we kind of, started pursuing these local policy solutions, we went through as a group, like, what would be the best first step for us in our city. So on top of that information needs assessment we did in San Francisco, where we interviewed all the local publishers, some other voices in the community, and doing those focus groups, we also made sure that we aligned on what policy would work best. So we, after many meetings, we all agreed that going after advertising dollars from the city would really make those dollars be seen sooner in newsrooms. So we actually just passed a resolution at the Board of Supervisors this year that would urge city departments to spend at least 50% of ad dollars in community and ethnic media. And that's a huge one, and we're already seeing more departments work with our local news publishers. So that's been a huge success. And our next project is getting a local grants program set up here in San Francisco. So a lot of momentum happening.
Okay, well, can you explain what the Democracy Wire is?
So the Democracy Grants Program, we're still in the early stages of development, but our key model for that is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is a system on the national level that gives money to public radio stations in rural areas across the country. So we're still in early development, but we're really excited about so many of the San Francisco leaders are very interested in taking a leadership role on this issue.
We've got an email from Becca. She says, I live near a small town west of Eugene. Half of our local paper's news consists of high school sports in detail. I might be interested in a quick summary, but that'd be about it. I watch news on local TV. I'm a senior. So Maya, it brings up a good point. Are people really interested in local media? Do they really want it?
Yeah, so one of the one of the things that we've found out in our report, Local Voices on Local News, the information needs assessment is, we have focus groups from like high school students to seniors. And one of the things we found out is that there's just such a wide range of how different people and communities access news. So one of the things we're actually thinking about help with that demand issue is to work with an academic institution, so San Francisco State University, on how to, aggregate more of our local journalism newsrooms and how to get more news right in front of people's faces more. And so one of the things that we're also exploring is a digital billboard pilot that would be placed in communities and that would, help just drive up that demand problem. And I'm really glad you brought that up because there's so much conversation about the supply issue in local news, but not as much in demand. And so that is definitely one of the things that we're experimenting with. And I'm sure Andrew is as well in his center.
Before we get to Andrew, which I want to, and we'll want to talk about collaboration, you mentioned community journalism districts. That's part of the Common Cause Advocacy Program. Can you talk more about what a community journalism district is? And oh, by the way, how do people make a living at journalism anymore?
Those community information districts is actually modeled after business improvement districts or library districts. And basically what a community information district would do is it would establish, a democratic process and levy a tax on the residents of the district to fund media and civic communication projects selected by a public board. And this is actually modeled off and being developed in New Jersey. So we're definitely following that as well.
Well, I appreciate that little bit of information. I know you really have to run. You have a tight schedule. So if you need to bow out before I get to my next question for you, Maya, just go ahead and do that and let our engineer know. Andrew, talk more about collaboration and some of these experimental projects that are out there.
Sure. Thank you so much. So one of the things that, and I want to highlight that when we're talking about collaboration, there's actually multiple levels of collaboration. When I mentioned our information needs assessment in the Rogue Valley last year, one of the recommendations that we came out with was to try to create, and again, you mentioned this with Maya, in terms of forming an information a civic information hub was one of our recommendations in the Rogue Valley. That would be a collaboration with other media organizations, such as JPR and Ashland News, or even the EO Media Groups, the Mail Tribune, and this idea of really trying to bring again come together to resource share, so you can again collaborate to pull resources, expertise, technology, and enabling them to cover more ground and to produce more impactful journalism for the entire community. Then there are other forms of collaboration that really kind of speaks towards community engagement. So in another more recent information needs assessment that we did in Salem, specifically with the Hispanic community, our recommendation was to foster a sense of collaboration with media and local organizations schools and civic groups that, again, helps media outlets understand community needs and priorities, ensuring coverage is relevant and useful to the community. And then one area that would be really pushing the boundaries with other very traditional journalists was this idea of co-creating content with journalists and community members, right? This idea of working together to produce stories that are accurately reflect local issues, concerns, and solutions, fostering a sense of ownership and trust in the media.
Now, speaking of trust, we live in this age of widespread misinformation and disinformation. It's not just social media, but even many media outlets that people trust as sources of news also participate in the spread of misinformation. So how much of a factor does trust play in developing and sustaining local news media?
Enormous. That's, there's some recent Pew research that, and this speaks a little bit to your caller's question here, by the way, in terms of local media and the question of, do we even need local media? One of the more recent Pew research studies have identified that there's actually a falling trust of national news, right? And I think it might have a lot to do with the polarized way we communicate with national broadcast news. I don't necessarily need to speak towards the stations that people easily recognize, but the highlight in that research is the fact that there's actually more trust of local coverage, of local news, because it's in their backyard. And I think part of this idea of collaborating with, again, community members or civic organizations and trying to speak to those issues that's most top of mind is because you're starting to build and fortify that relationship, right? We often speak about engagement when it comes to journalism and media. And oftentimes we fall into the trap of more transactional engagement. What we're really focused on at the Agora Journalism Center is more meaningful relational engagement. How do we build a feedback loop between media organizations and the community so that you know what we're covering is actually relevant to the community? And that, to me, and what our research is focused on, is the fact that that actually helps build trust within the local media landscape when you're actually encouraging participation from community members.
I'm talking with Andrew DeVigal, the director of the University of Oregon's Agora Journalism Center. Maya Chupkov, who joined us earlier, she had to leave. She's the director of California's Common Cause Media and Democracy Program, and we thank her for joining the exchange. You can join us as well by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Andrew, you're at a university, and many colleges and universities have campus newspapers. So what are your thoughts about how they can be leveraged to become broader-based local community information sources?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think at the School of Journalism and Communication at the University of Oregon, we've had multiple programs. I think the Snowden internship fellowship program, I think, is a huge benefit across the state, where not just University of Oregon graduates or recent graduates are participating in this internship program, but across the state, with across universities, we select and handpick folks who apply for this internship and then place them at these summer internships across the state and work with local media. I think that's a promising notion. I think another promising notion is what's happening in California and Washington State as well, is to support these fellowships. So rather than a summer program, it's really a 1 or 2 year program where we place either recent graduates or even recently displaced journalists who have left either their current job and is looking for new opportunities, and have them place into these fellowships across the state and really help support what local news organizations are really thriving for, is really more bodies, right? More bodies that know how to report on and report with community members. So again, models across and in our neighboring states have funded those through legislative programs. And that's another thing that we would really help support and advocate for, is some legislative support and policies that would then really bring in and really fill in the gaps of getting journalists on the ground to cover our local communities.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about jobs. Journalism is a job. It's a profession. But at the same time, we're seeing that profession is declining. And we're seeing that the industry itself is declining. Not only are there local news deserts, but those local news deserts are indicators that there are no jobs. And so when you talk about journalism and then we have to shift our language a little bit and talk about civic information, we're talking about jobs at the end of the day.
Right.
We're talking about business models. So how does a civic information hub support the jobs that are necessary? Mm-hmm. Because someone's got to do this work at the local level.
Sure.
And if we're talking about storytellers across a wide variety of different delivery vehicles, if we're talking about storytellers at the local level, how do we support the work that they do that we're saying is vital to the community and the community wants?
Yeah, that's a great question. And Mike, and you know, I think across the country, we've been seeing different various models, but I think the common model, or at least the common traits across these various models across the country has been really to diversify your income streams, right? So advertising is definitely one that has diminished in the last few years. Hasn't gone to zero to certain communities and certain locations, but there is opportunities to support outlets in those ways. But again, to diversify your income streams also means to recognize that perhaps another portion is to hold events, right? Host these kinds of events across your communities and maybe have some moderate income. And also there would be some either pledge drives or ways to support it through membership programs, right? To help, again, to try to engage with those that are much more willing to participate and much willing to open up their wallets to actually be part of that conversation, to be part of that community, to really engage with it. I wouldn't say that let's not hold back information when it's key to the community and put it behind a paywall. I don't think that's a really good solution, but really a membership program is a way for allowing others to participate is one other avenue. And again, as Maya mentioned earlier in the program, was the philanthropic philanthropy has been also a great opportunity. You know, with our neighboring states in California and Washington, of course, there's a lot more philanthropic dollars in there. Whereas, you know, again, our smaller state, or not smaller state, but our state of Oregon has some limitations in that area. But I think if we can pull funds collectively across other foundations and other groups, I think there are opportunities to, again, help support our local ecosystems here in Oregon. And I know there's a program called Press Forward that's really trying to advocate to really focus on the local efforts that's happening, that could happen here in Oregon. And then finally, I think legislative programs is also a potential solution in terms of trying to get public funding to support one form of tax breaks or one form of fellowships to really, again, support our information needs across our communities here in Oregon.
Well, it sounds like what you're saying is that it takes a village to save local journalism. Now, that's all the time we have for this segment. My guests have been Andrew DeVigal, director of the Agora Journalism Center at the University of Oregon. Thank you so much, Andrew.
I appreciate having this conversation, Mike.
And we thank Maya Chupkov, director of California's Common Cause Media and Democracy Program, who had to leave just a little earlier. The Jefferson Exchange will return in a moment. Thank you.